Could you turn, please, in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, John's first letter and the first chapter. I'm going to read the whole of the chapter, which is only 10 verses, but we'll be just looking at the first 4 verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus the Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The only letters in the New Testament which do not mention who wrote them are the three epistles of John and the epistle to the Hebrews. The title over this letter in our Bibles is the first letter of John, and that was has been added by the church, but there are three good reasons why it's believed that the Apostle John wrote this letter. First, because the earliest Christian writers acknowledge that John is the writer. So there was Irenaeus, Clement of Alexandria, and Tertullian, all from the late 2nd century and early 3rd centuries attest that John is the writer of this epistle. And then secondly, because the writer identifies himself as an eyewitness of Jesus' earthly life, he says in verse 1, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon and touched. And then third, the style and terminology are almost identical with the style and terminology of the Gospel of John. But then neither does the letter tell us who it's addressed to. It may have been a particular church or a group of churches, but it doesn't actually say. John MacArthur says that it is likely written from Ephesus to the churches of Asia Minor, over which John exercised apostolic leadership. However, I'm not aware of any reasons or evidence for that. We just don't know. In the first 4 verses, John's focus is on the life that is real. And we can see 3 facts about this life that is real. The first is this life is revealed in Jesus Christ, God's Son. And then secondly, this life is experienced And then thirdly, this life is shared. So let's look at each of these three aspects in turn. Firstly, this life is revealed in Jesus Christ, God's Son. Verse 2 says, "The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us." That word manifest appears twice in this verse, and it also occurs again in chapter 4 and verse 9, where it says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him." So God has revealed himself in creation. We know this from Romans chapter 1, and with our own eyes. But creation alone could never tell us the story of God's love. God has also revealed himself much more fully in his word, the Bible. But God's final and most complete revelation is in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father," in John chapter 14 and verse 9. Because Jesus is God's revelation of himself, he has a very special name. He's called here in verse 1, the Word of Life. This title, Word, also appears in John's Gospel in chapter 1, as I'm sure you're aware. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Why does Jesus Christ have this name? It's because Christ is to us what our words are to others. Our words reveal to others just what we think and how we feel and what we're like. Christ reveals to us the mind and heart of God. He is the living means of communication between God and men. To know Jesus Christ is to know God. John leaves us in no doubt about just who Jesus Christ is. Jesus is the Son of the Father, the Son of God, as it says here in verse 3 and again in verse 9. Later on in this letter, John warned us several times not to listen to the false teachers who tell lies about Jesus Christ. In chapter 2 and verse 22 it says, "Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ?" And then in chapter 4 he says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." If a man is wrong about Jesus Christ, he is wrong about God, because Jesus Christ is the final and complete revelation of God to men. For example, there are those who tell us that Jesus was a man but was not God. Well, John has no place for that sort of teaching. One of the last things he wrote in his letter is, chapter 5 and verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life." Well, secondly, this life is experienced. As we read the first four verses of John's letter, we notice that the apostle had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. This wasn't a second-hand religious experience inherited from somebody else or discovered in a book. No, John knew Jesus Christ face to face. He and the other apostles heard Jesus speak. They watched him as he lived with them. In fact, they studied him carefully. They even touched his body. They knew that Jesus was real. not a ghost, not a vision, but God in human bodily form. But it wasn't so much the apostles' physical nearness to Jesus Christ that made them what they were. It was their spiritual nearness to Christ. They had committed themselves to him as their saviour and their Lord. Jesus Christ was real and exciting to John and his colleagues because they trusted him. By trusting Christ, they had experienced eternal life. Six times in this letter, John uses the phrase, born of God. This was not an idea that John had invented. He had heard Jesus use these words in John chapter 3, where Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. We can experience this real life only after we have believed the gospel, put our trust in Christ, and been born of God. Eternal life is not something we earn by good works or deserve because of good character. Eternal life, the life that is real, is a gift from God to those who trust his Son as their Saviour. John wrote his gospel to tell people how to receive this wonderful life. He wrote his first letter to tell people how to be sure that they have really been born of God. The assurance that we are in God's family, that we have been born of God, is vitally important to all of us. Certain characteristics are true of all God's children. A person who is born of God lives a righteous life. That's, it says that in chapter 2, verse 29. A child of God does not practice sin. Chapter 3 and verse 9. A believer will occasionally commit sin. In chapter 1, verse 8 through to 2, verse 2. But he will not make a habit of sin. God's children also love each other and their Heavenly Father. They have no love for the world system around them, and because of this, the world hates them. Instead of being overcome by the pressures of this world and swept off balance, the children of God overcome the world. This is another mark of the true children of God. It is important that we know that we have actually been born again, that we are genuinely a child of God. There are tares among the wheat. There are counterfeit Christians. A counterfeit £10 note may be used many times in circulation. It may have done much good, but eventually when it arrives at the bank, its true nature is revealed. So with a counterfeit Christian. He may do many good things in this life, but when he faces the final judgment, he will be rejected. I didn't write down the reference. I think it's Matthew 9 or 13. I can't remember. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Each of us must ask himself honestly, am I a true child of God, or am I a counterfeit Christian? Have I truly been born of God? If you have not experienced eternal life, this real life, you can experience it right now. God has gone on the record in his word. He offers you the gift of eternal life. Believe his promise and ask him for this gift. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. And then thirdly, this life is shared. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. That's verse 3. And once we have experienced this exciting life that is real, we will want to share it with other people. Just as John wanted to proclaim it to all his readers in the first century. Many people, including some Christians, have the idea that witnessing means arguing about the differences in religious beliefs. And that isn't what John had in mind. He told us that witnessing means sharing our spiritual experiences with others, both by the lives that we live and by the words that we speak. John wrote this letter to share Christ with us. As you read it, you will discover that John had in mind five purposes for sharing. Firstly, that we may have fellowship, in verse 3. That we may have joy, in verse 4. That we may not sin, chapter 2, verse 1. That we may not be deceived, chapter 2, verse 26. And that we may know we are saved, chapter 5 and verse 13. In conclusion, we can be confident that the life we have in Christ is real because of John's eyewitness testimony and also because we have experienced it. We can thank God for this life and be spurred on to share it. Amen.